Hey, church family, it's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining us as we look at God's Word together. We miss seeing you. It's obviously not the same without you. And just know that you're in our hearts, you're in our prayers, and we look forward to the day when we can see each other again. Wanted to let you know that we are working on a plan. There are some brothers in the church who are forming a reopening plan, and as a board, we are talking through this. We would appreciate your prayers that God will give us wisdom. We want to be careful. We want to be cautious. We want to love our neighbors well, and we want to love the people in the church well, so we would appreciate your prayers for that. We'll keep you posted on what we decide going forward, when we want to reopen, and how that will look like, but know that we miss you, and we love you, and we ask that God would be with you in this time. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are living in interesting times. Many of you know there's just a constant onslaught of news and media. It's overwhelming, to be honest. If you look at the news like me, I kind of look at different, you know, stories and different things and different perspectives, and it's so easy for us to get caught up in just the different arguments and the different views. And it's good to be educated, and it's good to learn, and it's good to be updated on what's happening. But I think it is easy for us to lose focus off of what's what our mission is here in the world and what Christ is calling us to here as his people. It's easy for us to get weighed down with the different things that are happening and for us to merely react to what's happening. And I think my heart for us in this time is that we would, as God's people, be committed to looking at the Word of God and to really be faithful representatives of who He is in times like these. And that when we engage with people and we discuss and we debate, that we would have the heart of Christ for people, and that we wouldn't lose sight off of people's, off of the soul, right? That is such an important thing. Christ says that what good is it if you gain the whole world and yet you lose your soul? We could be about so many different things, but ultimately, Christ wants people to know him. And Paul's going to talk about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Many of the issues that flow out of, you know, that we're seeing in society, many of the broken places that we see being fleshed out in society are a result of people not being made right with God. People are not reconciled with God, and therefore there's brokenness in their relationships with their neighbor and with people throughout the world. And so I don't want us to be putting band-aids on issues where there's heart surgery that's needed. Right? Because the gospel is clear and Christ is clear that the ultimate issue in each one of us is that our hearts are dead, that we need new life. And that comes through the gospel, that comes through Christ. And so my hope for us is that we would refocus our attention on what it is that we're here for. What is Christ calling us to? And Paul's going to help us refocus on that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The title of this sermon is Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. The New Oxford American Dictionary defines an ambassador like this. It says, an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Okay, and what Paul's going to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that we are Christ's representatives in this world. We are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God. We've been born again through the new birth that Christ has brought for us. And when we understand that our citizenship is in heaven, that's going to directly impact the way that we carry ourselves in this life. It's going to directly impact the way that we engage with people and we discuss certain issues with them. We're not just trying to win arguments. We want to win people towards Christ. And that's what Paul is going to help us to focus on in this section of Scripture. Let's read verses 17 through 21 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come to you this morning as your children. We can come boldly to your throne of grace because you've made the way for us, God, to come. You accomplished what was needed for us to be able to call you Father, for us to be born again, for us to be adopted into your family. It's all you. It's all your grace. And we've merely been gifted with this. And so we come through the blood of Jesus, through your sacrifice for us. And we want to hear from your word, God. We want you to speak life to us, Lord. God, thank you that your word is truth. And we ask that you would shape us by your truth today. And that you'd allow us to live out these things that we hear and that we see in your word. And you'd help us as we engage with people and we have conversations, that you'd help us to love people well. And that you'd help us to be faithful in representing you to a lost and dying world. We need you for these things, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So right off the bat, Paul here focuses in on verse 17. He says that if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. And this is really the essence of the gospel. Our position in Christ is really the central focus of the gospel. That this position that we've received, it's all been through the work of what Christ has done on our behalf. He says that the old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. When you come to Jesus, you're a new creation through what he's done for you. The old things, your old life, it's passed away. Your sins, they no longer define you. Your Savior defines you. And Paul says in verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And then he goes on in verse 20 and says that we are ambassadors for Christ, that God's making his appeal through us. And so we see here that we are Christ's representatives in the world. What that means for us is that we have a message that we're bringing. We are messengers with a message. We've been sent by the king to a foreign land to represent him and to represent that message to people in a foreign land. We are citizens of heaven. The Bible is clear. Obviously, you might say, well, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And that's also true. But when you become born again, you have another citizenship, and that is in heaven. And now what Christ is calling us to do is to bring the kingdom of God to this broken world. And we do that by bringing the message of the gospel. And that's why Paul says in verse 18 that Christ gave us this ministry of reconciliation. In the way that Christ has worked in our own lives individually, and that he's brought this new life to us, that new life is not just meant to end with you. It's actually meant to be an invitation that flows through you. When you experience the saving work of Jesus, that is meant to bring other people into the fold. Like your story and your testimony of how God has worked in your life, you're not just supposed to sleep on that or keep that inside of you. That's meant to flow through you to invite other people to take part in the life of God. And this is what Paul is saying to us. And I know we're living at a time where there are so many different issues and there's so many different debates and division. And I think as God's people, we cannot afford to lose focus off of what our true mission is, what we're called to do by Christ. Notice, we're ambassadors for Christ. We've been entrusted with this message of reconciliation. And so we want to be faithful with that message in the world. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about the tough issues. It just means that we keep it in these issues in perspective of the gospel, that we're looking at things through the lens of the gospel. And ultimately, in verse 21, he says, this is the essence of the message. He says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you want to see righteousness in the world? Do you long to see a world that's full of righteousness, that's free of injustice? That day is coming. But in the meantime, the scripture says that the best way to have that happen, the best way for that to occur in our lifetime, is for us to preach this message of reconciliation with God. When people are made right with God, they will want to be right with their neighbors. And of course, we need to address different issues that come up. But this is really the focal point for us as believers. What did Jesus tell us to do? He said, go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These are our orders from King Jesus. As his ambassadors, we're called to go out into all the world and make disciples. We're called to preach the gospel to every creature. And as we do that, we're going to see God bring about a transforming work in the lives of the people around us. I love how one pastor commentated on this verse, verse 21. He says this, God treated Jesus on the cross as if he had lived our wicked lives, so that for all of eternity, God could treat us as if we had lived Jesus' perfect life. I want to say that again. God treated Jesus on the cross as if he had lived our wicked lives, so that for all of eternity, God could treat us as if we had lived Jesus' perfect life. This is really the essence of the message that we're preaching. That on the cross, Jesus Christ absorbed our sin. He absorbed the payment that was due us because of our sin. It says here that he was made sin for us. God treated him on the cross like we should have been treated. And there's this great exchange that takes place there where Christ gives us his righteousness. He bears our sin. He forgives us and extends us grace. And now we've been made new. This is the greatest message that we can give a world that's hurting and broken. I think as we allow the gospel to really well up in us, as we think about the gospel implications in our life, man, what does it mean that Christ saved me? Do I understand that I am a sinner, that I am in need of saving? When I think about in my own life how Christ has rescued me, man, I can't help but be passionate about giving that message out to other people. And so my encouragement for us, if you're feeling like, you know what, I really hesitate and I'm really scared to share with people about Christ, I don't know a lot of answers. My encouragement for you is to really just meditate upon the work that God has done in your own life. Think about how he rescued you. Think about how his grace has been upon you your whole life. You've been through tough times. You've had highs and lows. And yet through it all, Christ has been faithful to you. As you meditate on that, as you think deeply upon these truths, it's going to be transformative in helping you be an ambassador for Christ in this world. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to know Jesus. You have to understand the work that he's done for you. And right, there's a time right now where it's kind of like we're feeling this pressure. We're feeling like we're getting bombarded with news constantly. And the call for us as God's people is not just to go to, you know, the news stories. It's really to go to the good news of the gospel, the news that is tried and true, the news that every single person needs to hear. And once we latch on to that, we're going to be able to give that out to other people. I want to look at another scripture in our time together, Colossians chapter 4. Turn with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. Paul has said in 2 Corinthians 5 that we've got to understand our identity as ambassadors and our message, that we've been entrusted with this message of reconciliation. And I want to look at Colossians chapter 4 because I believe Paul's going to give us some more insight into what it means to be an ambassador. How are we to carry ourselves in this world? How does this work itself out in our lives? So I want to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. It says this: "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And so this is where I want us to look at. Second of all, I want us to see, what does it look like for us to be ambassadors, and how does that work itself out in our daily lives? First of all, Paul here calls us to continue steadfastly in prayer, right? We want to continually emphasize why prayer is important, because when we pray, what is prayer? Prayer is us coming before God and asking God to do that which we cannot do. We're saying, Lord, we are out of control. Like, this world seems like it's out of control, but we acknowledge that you're in control. And we're bringing before you our cares and our burdens and the people that we care about and the people who don't know you. And we're saying, Lord, please work. Please do what only you can do. And so that's what we're doing in prayer. He says that we're to be watchful in it with thanksgiving. So easy for us to just look at what's wrong in the world. And to really come at a place of, you know, we just start complaining. We just start, it's like, man, why are things like this? And it's easy for us to forget to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. Because the truth of the matter is, things could be worse, right? Yeah, things aren't ideal, but things could be worse. What is it that Christ has blessed us with in this season? Think about the things that he's blessed you with in your life and give him thanks for those things. Notice what Paul says in verse 3. He says, "At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." This is an amazing truth here that we see. Because notice it says in verse 4 that Paul himself is in prison. Paul is in prison, and yet he's praying that God would open up a door for the word. Notice that he's not praying that God would open up the door of the prison, but he's saying, Lord, please open up a door for the word. I want to declare the mystery of Christ. And I think this is such an important thing for us to understand as God's people, that God would open up doors for his word. Oftentimes when we're in an uncomfortable position, we just pray, God, get me out of this place. I'm tired of being here. Just take me out of prison. But Paul says, no, I'm recognizing that there's something more at stake. There's something greater in value than my momentary comfort. And that is the kingdom of God. That is people knowing and hearing the gospel, coming to salvation. And I think for us in our own lives, what are the areas where we're saying, you know what, Lord, just get me out of this situation. Just get us out of quarantine. Just deal with this whole coronavirus. And that's okay to pray those things. But I think seeing the bigger picture and saying, Lord, but if you would have this continue, open up a door for your word. Bring many people to know you. If this is what you want to use to bring many people into your kingdom, Lord, do it. I think that takes some adjustment in our thinking, because we oftentimes value our physical well-being and our own comfort over the purposes of God. And we oftentimes can miss what God is wanting to do in tough times. And what Paul does is he prays and says, Lord, he sees that there's something greater at stake. And he says, God, open up the door for your word that I can declare the gospel to people. And he prays for clarity in verse 4. He says, help me to make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. I think this is a great prayer because Christ wants to equip us to help make the gospel clear to people and help give us the words and knowing how to share and what to share. And I just want to encourage you, if you're feeling like, you know, like think about this. When's the last time you shared the gospel with someone? When's the last time you had a spiritual conversation with someone? And maybe you're saying, you know what, I just feel like so intimidated and I don't know all the answers and I'm afraid that they're going to ask me something that I don't know how to answer it. My encouragement for you is that it's really not about just having the right answers, but it's really about having the right heart. And Christ has worked in your life in a powerful way. You have a testimony. You have something to share. You might not know all the answers, but people are hungry and they're thirsty and they're looking for something. And oftentimes what I've found in my own life, which has convicted me, is that many times I'm hesitant to bring Christ into the conversation, but someone will ask me a question and I notice, I say, wow, God is really wanting to move in this person's life. They're very curious. They're more willing to talk about spiritual things sometimes than I am willing to talk about them. And I think this is the case with many people in our day. I think this is increasingly becoming the case. People are looking for answers. They're looking for what is truth? What's going on here? And I think as believers, we have the answers that the world desperately needs. Not because of who we are, but because of God and His Word. And so Paul encourages us to pray that God would give us open doors to share with people about the gospel. Remember, we are ambassadors. We're people with a message. The most important thing that you can give people right now is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. Don't underestimate that. You don't need to be a professional, you know, political commentator. You don't need to have all the answers to all of the issues. The primary thing that I want to stress today is that we need to be people who are captivated by the gospel, who understand that we're on mission with Jesus, and who understand that this is truly what the world needs. And in times like these, we need a renewed commitment to love God, to love others, and to really preach this gospel. Look at what Paul says in verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Speaking to people about the word of God, about the gospel is important. Having spiritual conversations is important. But also, the lives that we live are also important, right? I've heard many times people come to me and say, well, I know, you know, people who are Christians and, you know, they're living completely opposite of that which they claim to believe. And we can look at those people and say, man, you guys are giving us a bad name. But if we're honest, we all are hypocrites in some shape or form. We've all played the hypocrite. We all are in need of the grace of God. And Paul says here that we're to walk in wisdom toward outsiders. This comes as we truly believe the gospel, as we are allowing these truths to wash over us. The areas in our lives where we're not walking in accordance with the truth of the gospel, we're asking God, saying, God, please move in me. We're confessing that to other people. We're confessing towards brothers and sisters. Hey, I'm struggling with this area. And I've been so blessed by so many of you being willing to open up about your struggles and to humble yourself and say, this is what I'm struggling with, but I want to get some help. I want to get some prayer. That's so honoring to God. You're not a hypocrite when you're confessing your sin. You're only a hypocrite when you're living that life. You're not being open. You're not being vulnerable about your sin. That's when we start playing the hypocrite. Paul says, hey, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside or towards people who don't believe in Jesus. Because oftentimes they're looking at our lives and they're kind of measuring our lives and saying, okay, is what they say that they believe, does that match with how they're living their life? And people are watching even when we don't think they're watching. Some of you have experienced this with your kids. Some of you have experienced this in real life. Maybe someone calls you out on something. You said, man, I didn't even know that they saw that. And it's convicting for us because we're like, wow, I don't want to be someone who is playing the hypocrite. And this is what Paul calls us to. He says, hey, walk in wisdom. Because people, they might not read the Bible, but they're reading your life. Your life is like a living Bible that sometimes people are going to read that and say, okay, they're making conclusions about Christ and about Christianity. They're saying, is this really true? And so we have need of wisdom. And James chapter 1 says that we're to ask God for wisdom. If we're lacking this wisdom, we're to ask God for it. If you want to know wisdom, look no further than the Word of God. Get into this book. Let this book get into you. It's going to help shape you. It's going to help form you. It's going to help you make the best use of the time, as Paul says in verse 5. And then notice what he says in verse 6. We've seen that how we live is important, what we say is important, but now Paul's going to say how you say it and how you answer people is also important. I said this before, but it's not just about having the right answers, but about having the right heart. Paul says, let your speech always be gracious. Wow. How many of us could say that? Our speech is always gracious. I'm afraid none of us can say that. But many of you know this, right? When someone rebukes you, or if someone who is gracious gives you a rebuke, calls you out on something that you're doing wrong, it's a lot easier to hear than a rebuke from someone that comes from someone who's frustrated or just wanting to get something off their chest. Gracious speech is greatly undervalued in our society. Right? We're living in a society that's becoming less and less gracious and more hostile. And so this is going to be all the more important as the days go on, that the speech, the way that we speak to people, not just what we say, but how we say it, is all the more important. Gracious speech reflects grace in the heart, right? Jesus says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes we say things that we say, oh, I didn't mean to say that, or you know, just, yeah, I just slipped out. But no, the Bible would say, no, that you said that because that was in your heart, and out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So different passive-aggressive tendencies. Or sarcasm, right? I like a little sarcasm sometimes. I think it's fine to joke around, but we have to watch it. We have to be careful that we're not acting and we're not saying things out of a place of hurt, but that we're allowing God's grace to really go down deep in our heart. And as God's grace goes into our heart, it transforms how we speak to each other and how we answer people. We want to speak from a place of having our hearts right before the Lord. Paul says there, hey, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Well, salt is meant to bring flavor. It could be a preservative. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, what is it good for but to be trampled down by men? Basically, he's saying, Christians, you're salty. You have a salty influence in society. There's a preserving factor there. There's flavor that you're bringing. You're bringing something to the conversation that's not usually brought. It's a spiritual view to things. You're looking just beyond what's happening. You're looking at the deeper spiritual realities. Salt also makes people thirsty. When we're speaking with people, I've often found that as we're steeped in God's word, as that word is coming out of us, people become curious. Not everyone, but there's some people who will become curious and they start getting thirsty. They want more. And we're to have this influence in people's life. As we speak to them, there should be saltiness in our speech. And then he says there in verse 6, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We need wisdom and we need grace to know how we ought to answer each person. 1 Peter 3:15, I believe, says that we're to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us, and that we're to do this with gentleness and respect. That call to always be ready. I just had a couple, there was a situation I had the other day where I was at an appointment and talking with the chiropractor, and we just had this good conversation, but it took me off guard because, you know, we've been having a little bit of spiritual conversations here and there, but sometimes I'm not sure, you know, how much someone wants to talk about that. So, but he just kind of brought it up and just said, hey, what does the Bible say about, you know, God preordaining people? And just like a super heavy question. I'm like, man, this is awesome. But it kind of caught me off guard. I realized, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't really come in here thinking that we're going to have like a spiritual conversation. I knew it could be a possibility, but I felt like, okay, it's time to be ready. And the Lord was reminding me, hey, we're to always be ready to give an answer. And we got to have a good conversation and talk about it. But I think as we go to our different appointments, as we go to the store, as we see our friends, as we see coworkers, as we're interacting with neighbors, and I know some of that's limited in this time, but as we're doing these things, I think asking God, let me be ready for when you do open the door. If someone's asking, man, what's going on in this world? And I feel like you're leading me to give them some wisdom or something from the Word. Help me to be ready to share that. And like I said before, I think we just have to start somewhere. I think that we're not just going to be experts overnight, right? We're not just going to all of a sudden just know all the answers to people's questions. But I think what I found in my own life is what's helped me grow in being ready to give an answer to people and engaging with people who aren't believers is just to merely like engage with them. Don't even go into conversations thinking, oh, I need to drop the gospel hammer on them. Just go into conversations and talk with them and care for them as people. They're not your project. They're a person that's made in the image of God. And so love them and care for them. Listen to them. One of the best ways I've found to engage with people is to ask questions. Very non-offensive way to see where they're at spiritually. But this is something that I want to encourage us in as we're engaging in more of these conversations. Let's have the heart of Christ for people. Let's not be divisive. Let's be peacemakers. We don't need to shy away from biblical truth, but we want to bring that truth in a way, as Peter says, that's with gentleness and respect. We want to represent Christ rightly to a world that's lost. The Bible's clear that people who don't believe in Christ, people who haven't put their faith in Him, that they've been taken captive by the enemy to do His will. And so we need to see people not as the enemy. We need to see them as people who have been taken captive by the enemy. They've been blinded. It says that their minds have been blinded so they can't see the light of the gospel. When we really believe what the scripture says about people, that's going to breed compassion in us. That's going to help us to be patient with them. And when we're teaching, when we're trying to communicate truth, that's going to help us to go the extra mile. It's going to help us to listen to them. We don't always have to correct them on everything. We want to listen, we want to care for them, and we want to bring the gospel to them. And so that's my prayer for us as a church, that God would begin to give us this heart that burns for the gospel, that burns for people to know Him. And if you're saying, you know, where do I even start in this? I would encourage you to come to the prayer meeting. We're on Zoom. You guys have the info. We'll send it out. If you're just like, you know, this seems so daunting, engaging in conversations, my encouragement for you is just to come alongside us and say, you know what, we're going to start praying that God would open up these doors for the Word, that maybe the Word of Christ would just go forward, that He would bless churches and He would bless people and He would bless our community, and that He would open up hearts to this message. We're going to be praying on Wednesday at 7. Getting my days mixed up. Wednesday at 7:30. We would love to have you there. We'll have that Zoom link in the info. But please come and let's begin here. Let's just pray that God would give us open opportunities to share the word and that many people would come to know Christ in this time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, God, just to be in your word and just to really get our hearts refocused and realigned, Father, just with your truth. And we confess that we need you, Lord. We need you for these things. I pray, God, just for those who are discouraged, who are just down and depressed, I pray that you'd shine upon them and that you'd lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. I pray that you would equip us, that you would get us passionate about your gospel, or that we wouldn't be content to merely just ingest the news around us, but that we would say, you know what, I'm going to meditate on the greatest news ever, and I'm going to give this news out to people who are hurting and broken and searching. Give us eyes to see the open doors that are around us. I know sometimes there's doors that you open that we don't even see because we're not looking. And I just pray, God, that you give us eyes to see those doors, that you give us hearts to pray and to call out, that you would save people in our family, our friends, people who don't know you, our coworkers, God, that you would burden our hearts for the lost, that we wouldn't lose sight of what we're here for, that we are your ambassadors, that we've been entrusted with this message of reconciliation. And I pray that you would use us in this world. You would use us in our communities, in our homes, to bring this message, Lord, to the people that we love, that we would model it by the lives that we live. Help us if there's inconsistencies, Lord, those places in our lives where we're not living in light of your gospel. I pray that you would give us your grace, Lord, to walk in wisdom, to live in light of who you are. We need your Holy Spirit for these things, God. We don't want to do this in our own strength. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is wanting to empower us to be your witnesses, Lord, in this world. And so we just say that we need you. We need your presence. We need your power. Pray that you would come upon us. Equip us for the work that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.